The European Central Bank extends a lifeline for Greek banks. From APM in Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news this morning that the European Central Bank has decided to raise the amount of emergency credit available to Greek banks by about $980 million for 1 week. The move is aimed at helping banks partially reopen as details of a new bailout are worked out with Eurozone governments. For a reaction, we called up Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial in Chicago. She joins me now. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So we have news from the past hour that the European Central Bank is raising emergency lending for Greek banks. Do we expect the banks to stabilize now?
Well, it's the first step in a long road to repairs for Greece. The Greek banks have been closed more than 2.5 weeks, and the devastation has been almost unimaginable. Just think about not being able to get money out, pay for your bills, or even food. We now have pensioners scavenging garbage cans to get food in Greece. It really is unpalatable. We will begin to see some healing, but this is not just an on-off switch for Greece.
And you were just at a conference, I understand, in California with some leading economists from around the world talking about this crisis. What was the tone there?
The concern is that although Eurozone itself believes it can survive without Greece, the rest of the world is not so clear. And if the Eurozone is not able to survive without Greece, it could damage the Eurozone itself. You're talking about one of the largest economic blocks in the world. And when you have sort of a quake there, you feel tremors at home. Something as small as Greece, you don't notice as much. Something as large as the euro, we will feel it on our shores.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Other news from Europe today, that antitrust regulators there are investigating U.S. chipmaker Qualcomm for possible predatory pricing and other abusive practices. It's the latest in a series of European antitrust and tax inquiries into big U.S. companies, including Google and Amazon. Google reports second quarter earnings later today. Investors will be paying close attention to that company's expenses. Wall Street has been worried that Google is living a little too large, and apparently Google thinks so too. Earlier this week, the company said it scaled back its hiring last quarter. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
1,800 new hires in a single quarter doesn't sound like cutting back unless you're Google. The tech giant hired around 2,400 new employees each quarter last year. Mark Mahaney of RBC Capital Markets says Google has to do more to soothe worried Wall Street.
There's concern that Google's core advertising revenue growth rates are slowing, that they cannot or will not do a tough enough of a job managing expenses.
Mahaney says Google is losing ground in search ads, its bread and butter, to mobile platforms like Facebook and others.
All those concerns that people have, they look backwards.
Carlos Kirshner of Bernstein Research says Google still has room to grow. It's investing in self-driving cars, which could pay off in the future. It's also investing in current moneymakers like Android and search.
All of these require computer science and engineering and infrastructure,
which are expensive. Kirshner says Google spent an unusually high amount last year, and he's looking for that spending to slow down. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
It's a great time to be an attorney in North Dakota, especially around the oil fields. The number of civil and criminal cases there have skyrocketed in recent years. There are squabbles over mineral rights and a booming population of young men with money, some of whom are getting in trouble. Young attorneys from across the country see an opportunity. Emily Guerin reports.
Steve Fisher finished law school in Ohio in 2010. One of the worst years to graduate in recent memory.
I was a little jaded, a little discouraged at the time.
Less than 70% of law school grads who passed the bar in Ohio that year landed a job as an attorney. Fisher finally got a job doing something he never thought he'd do.
Loading crude oil onto rail cars.
Yes, Stephen Fisher, Juris Doctor, was loading crude oil onto trains. He had landed in North Dakota's Bakken oil field, like so many other down-on-their-luck Americans. His coworkers soon found out about his background.
People were coming to me for legal advice.
And that's when the big realization happened.
There was enormous demand for legal services. Why don't I hang my own shingle?
The rural lawyer shortage is not uncommon. What is uncommon is the massive increase in crime and legal disputes in an area without the legal infrastructure to handle it.
The bottom line is there are just not enough attorneys to meet the need.
Attorney Richard LeMay works for Legal Services North Dakota, which serves the low-income and elderly.
Ordinarily, we have a lot of people that call us because we're free. Now they're calling us because they can't find representation any other place.
A significant barrier to fixing the shortage is the fact that there aren't a ton of established law firms looking to hire new attorneys. Catherine Rand is the dean of the University of North Dakota Law School.
We need to do a better job of preparing our students for putting together a solo practice.
The school recently started a summer internship to introduce students to the idea of starting up their own shop. States like Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota have similar programs. For Steve Fisher, getting to know a rural place first made a big difference.
I can easily see myself living the rest of my life in North Dakota. I love it here.
In North Dakota, I'm Emily Guerin for Marketplace.
Emily's story comes to us from Inside Energy, a public media collaboration. Finally, NASA has released the first close-up image of Pluto with some surprises. It shows ice mountains about as high as the Rockies and signs that the dwarf planet is still geologically active. The 10-year mission has cost $720 million so far. Quick back of the envelope, that works out to about 24 cents per mile traveled. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.